Leviticus 4, we read about sins of ignorance and how they should be atoned for. And straight away, you take the lesson that sins of ignorance are still sins. And we cannot just assume that, oh, well, I didn't realize it, so, well, okay, so God didn't notice. So, okay, so it doesn't matter, I am innocent, well, I didn't realize. That has got very limited currency, even in secular life, to say, well, I didn't realize. Well, yeah, but you still did it. And it does rather get like standing on somebody's foot so hard that you break one of their bones and then say, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that I was standing on your foot. Well, maybe you didn't for some reason, but you still did stand on their foot and break their bone. And I mean, you do need to take some responsibility for that and to feel appropriately about having done that. So, sins of ignorance, you think, well, why does God allow that? Why has he structured that experience of sins of ignorance into human experience? I mean, he could have just made things a bit clearer, a bit more simple, a bit more pedestrian, where, look here, here's 20 rules and you've got to keep them and that's it. No, it's not like that. Why has he allowed this to be part of the structure of human experience? And I think that it is to elicit in us patience toward others, because a lot of sin and hurtful behaviour against us is often performed by people who, to quote the words of Jesus about the Romans who crucified him, they know not what they do. They are to some degree sinning in ignorance or in ignorance of the ramifications and implications of their actions, at least the full implications of what they're doing. And yet you and I are the same. And so God is particularly interested in how we respond to these issues. In verse 16 here, it says that the priest will bring the blood of the bull, this is offered because of sins of ignorance, to the tent of meeting. Now, do you realize that the offerings for the sins of ignorance were the only offerings where the offering was to be taken to the tent of meeting? It was actually taken beyond the altar of burnt offering up to the holy place where God met with the people. I think it just reveals the gravity of what had been done and how God was especially interested in how man responds once he becomes aware of his failures. If we are to just shrug and say, well, that's God's problem, I mean, I didn't know it was wrong or whatever, well, we are failing. David asks God in Psalm 19 to forgive him for his secret sins. That is, his sins of ignorance. Now, if we're asking God to forgive us for our sins of ignorance, we are therefore really asking God to have had mercy on us, even though we sinned but did not repent. And it's, of course, quite possible that you may die, and probably we will all die, with a load of sins of ignorance upon us, knowing that, well, being in the position where we did not know consciously that certain behaviour was wrong, upsetting, destructive, etc., and yet we still did it, and yet we believe we shall be saved by grace. We are not saved on account of having repented for 100% of all our sins. We are saved by grace and on account of our status being in Christ, whereby the whole person is covered in the righteousness of Jesus that is imputed or counted to us by faith. Now, if that is how we are, that we, as it were, expect God or look forward to the experience of God saving us despite our sins of ignorance, saving us and accepting us despite the fact we have not consciously repented of all our sins, well, that means that we likewise absolutely have to forgive others without demanding their repentance. Jesus is very clear when he gives us the Lord's Prayer to pray. And he says at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 12, that as you forgive others, so you will be forgiven. What policy you have about forgiveness is going to be reflected in how you are treated at the last day. Now, if you are saying to people, look, I'll forgive you if you get on the carpet and absolutely confess your sin, and then I shall very graciously tell you to arise, forgiven. Well, all right, so then how are you going to fare if that's how God treats you? You who have committed sins of ignorance and are at this point still with sins of ignorance, as it were, on your case, you have not repented of all your sins. Well, okay, that's how it shall be with you. It is therefore, I think, imperative that we do forgive without demanding repentance. And I do know how difficult this is. Of course, trust and rebuilt relationship is a totally different issue. That probably does require repentance. It does require the trust being earned again, as it were. But all the same, we can forgive, even if the relationship is not by its nature going to be rebuilt at that point. And as I began by saying, I think God has structured human life and experience in this way, that there are such things as sins of ignorance, because it does elicit in us the need, the ability to forgive others without their repentance.